Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
God has laid something on my heart that has been changing my life, and I am fired up to share it with you tonight. And if I'm honest with you, this date, January 14th, is my most favorite time of year to preach. Not January 1st, not day one, 2 weeks in. You know why? Let me show you why. Who in this room made at least one New Year's resolution? Let me see your hands. Oh, come on, put them up. You made at least one. It could have been a soft one. Maybe you didn't even write it down, but you made one. Okay, that's good. New Year's resolutions are good. Now, who in this room has already messed up on one of their New Year's resolutions? My hand is very high, y'all. This was the year of health and fitness for Ryan McVitie. Woo! We're 2 weeks in, and I've been to the gym one time. Just one time. I love preaching 2 weeks in. Because at the beginning of the year, we are so hopeful. And there's so much new that we are going to do and going to accomplish and going to change. And we are so excited about the new. And don't get me wrong, resolutions are good. You should have resolutions. Resolutions are a good thing. There's nothing unbiblical about it. It's good to have resolutions. But I want to ask you the question, why do they normally not work? Why, 2 months in, is the gym empty? January 1st, it's packed out. 2 months in, by March 1st, it's empty. You don't have to worry about it. Why do they usually not work? Well, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 is going to teach us why they don't work. And I'm not talking about fitness. I'm talking about things of serious spiritual significance. When we set out our year before God and we go, God, I want to see change in this area. And then we reach a stumbling block. A speed bump. Why? Why do we not see them come true most of the time? That's what we're going to talk about tonight in the Word of God. But actually, tonight, we're starting a series. This is the first series we've ever done at the River. We'll see how long it goes. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's up to the Lord. We'll see. But this series, you got to help me announce the title of it, is called Old Things. Would you look to your neighbor and say, I got some old things. I got some real old things in my garage, in the basement. My parents are so old. You should meet them. They're basically ancient. I got some real old things. We're going to talk tonight about old things. This jacket's very old. I think it's from 1996. I think somebody died in it, but I got it at a good deal at a thrift shop. It's an old thing. I like the Leafs. We're doing pretty good right now. Old things, my friends. And as we were planning and getting ready for this 11th season, I was talking to our teams. I was like, I want to go retro, and there's a reason for this, and do some old things. So they cooked up this invitation, this graphic that is a VHS tape. Put it on the screen. Show them. And I was so proud of this thing. I'm like, that looks sick. That's amazing. And I showed it to our team, and half of them went, that's so cool. What is it? And I was like, it's a VHS tape. He said, oh, is that like scotch tape or like duct tape or electrical tape? It's a weird box for tape. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Most of our team is in their early 20s. I'm an old man, 35 years old. I remember that. I grew up watching that. Power Rangers on that, baby. Somebody knows. A VHS tape. That's an old thing. And then I started talking to them. I'm like, do you know about some other old things? Have you ever heard of floppy disks? And they're like, floppy? Like it was like floppy? I said, well, the first one was, and then the second one was more rigid, but you know, and they're like, oh, was that like 1 terabyte or like 512 gigabytes? I'm like, no, it's 3.55 megabytes, actually. The IT people in here get that. It's not good. It's not a lot. And then I was like, do you know CDs? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've heard of that one. The big black vinyl thing that you put down and play. Yeah, I got Taylor Swift's CD last week, actually, and put it here. One girl said, I was like, good Lord, help us. And I'm going through this thing, and I'm like, Napster? You heard of Napster? Anybody here know Napster? The Christians are like, no, I never would have done that. That was illegal, Napster. Yeah, right. Come on, give me a break. I remember I was so proud. I downloaded / pirated and ripped off the whole Celine Dion soundtrack to Titanic for my mom, okay? Obviously, as a teenager, I didn't listen to that stuff. And I gave it to her, and I thought I was the coolest son ever. I didn't tell her it was illegal and her son might be arrested. But I checked the statute of limitations. I'm good now. They can't come after me. It's been long enough. But there's all these old things, and we were getting nostalgic, and we were sharing them. And then I brought up another one that I want to maybe jog your memory on. Does anyone here remember dial-up internet? You remember that? You know, you had a date to get on MSN Messenger and talk to your people. You know what I'm saying? Let me just jog your memory of what that was like. Can we play that? The sound is coming. Oh, beautiful. Play it louder, Chris, so they can hear it. And after all that, your mom would pick up the phone upstairs and you'd have to start again. The whole process was done. Why are you on that thing again? Dial-up internet. Guys, to access the internet, teenagers, I feel so old. To access the internet, you had to go through that on your phone line, which, by the way, had a cord on it. Like, it wasn't an iPhone. You couldn't walk around the house with it. And you had to go through all of that just to log in. And then once you logged in, you heard another noise when you got onto your AOL. You heard this.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
Okay, that's enough. PTSD. It was crazy back in the day with all these old things. And it's kind of fun to reminisce if you know about it. The teenagers are like, get me out of here. What is this? These old people. But it's kind of fun and nostalgic to talk about them. And I was really enjoying it. So I did something. I tried to dig up as many old things as I could. And I actually found a VHS tape in the flesh, real. And I put it, and I said, I'm going to watch an entire movie on a VHS tape. Y'all, I got halfway into this film, and I wanted to die. I had no idea what was happening on the screen. You can't see anything. It's not high definition. It's not even standard definition. I don't know what definition it is. It's awful. And then I found this app that will limit the speed of your internet to a dial-up connection. Do you know to load one page, it took like 4 minutes, and all you got was the text. The images were like coming down. And they were awful. And you know what I realized? I realized these old things really sucked. Like, they were terrible. But at the time, we thought they were the coolest thing ever. We thought they were amazing. They were familiar. They were convenient, so we thought at the time. They were amazing. But what I want to tell you tonight, because my job is not to be funny with you, here's what I want to tell you tonight. Just because something is familiar, it's convenient, it's what you know, is not a good enough reason to keep it around in your life. It's not a good enough reason. So we're going to talk about some old things tonight where God has an upgrade for you in your life. Where God has better things for you. Some of us have been watching VHS tapes, and the Lord is like, you have Netflix, bro. PureFlix, just kidding. You have PureFlix. You have 4K. Why are we still trying to load a DVD? When you have something new, you have something better. Christians in the room, I believe with all my heart that God has a new thing for you in 2025. Does anybody believe that? That God has better things for you. That God wants to advance you. He loves you. You are his child. He's not a stingy God. He wants new. I believe it for you. I pray it for you. I speak it over you. I really believe he has new things for you. But there's always a but. Here's the thing. There's something we need to do first if we are going to enter into a new season, of new things in our life. There's something we need to do first, and the Apostle Paul teaches us what that thing is. Not Ryan McVitie. My advice is we're $2 on a Tuesday. You know at KFC, you actually get chicken for $2 on a Tuesday. That's long gone. Everything's too expensive. But it's not my advice. It's advice from the Word of God, and it's in Ephesians. We're going to read it together, and then we're gonna break it down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It's coming up on the screen. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. Look to your neighbor and say, put off your old self. You can say it louder, they won't be hurt. Put off your old self. Say it to your husband, you really want to say it to him. Come on, put off your old self. Don't yell it to your spouse. You were taught with regard to the former way, your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. But it gets better. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Anyone want a new attitude in their mind? A positive attitude in their mind? You want to become a glass half full kind of person because every glass you've looked at just looks empty in your life? There is a new attitude of your minds, verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God, that's pretty special, like God in true righteousness and holiness. My friends, we love verse 23 and verse 24, and new mind and new self, righteous, holy. We sing about it all the time, but you know what we don't sing about? Putting off our old self, throwing away some old things. And this is what Paul is trying to teach us here tonight at the Church of Ephesus and here at the church in Whitby. He's trying to teach us this, that we have to put off our old self. The Greek word translated into English, where we get put off comes from, it comes from this idea of taking off an item of clothing, putting something off, laying it down. It's the same word used in Acts 7 if you read where Stephen is being stoned to death by Saul, who is soon to be Paul, and the Sadducees lay down their coats at Saul's feet. It means to put something off and to lay it down. The word of God for us tonight is that there are some things from 2024 that we need to put off of ourselves, that we need to leave in the past some things, some desires of our flesh that we need to live there. Because you got to understand, my friends, we live in this constant tension. We're saved, we're born again, we're made new, we're a new creation, that's true. But then we have this flesh, and the enemy wants you to bring you back to your old way of life, to your fleshly desires, to the things that were familiar and comfortable before Christ. But God wants new things, better things. This is the tension that you and I live in every single day. And what the Lord wants you to understand tonight, this is it. This is what he wants you to get, is that you can't every year just try to throw on some new clothes, to just take something and cover up and put something new on while we leave those old clothes on. There needs to be a putting off, as Paul calls it. And when there is a putting off, my friends, there is a freedom for us to experience that is life-changing. But I fear for many of us, me in the room, there are areas in my life where I do this. I fear for many of us that we do it too. We have been bought and paid. We are free and free indeed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we are still walking around with some old prison clothes. Because before we were bought and paid for, we lived in a prison of sin. It was our fallen nature. And God has paid the price to set us free, but some of us are still walking around in our prison clothes. I have a question for you in the room tonight. If someone is in prison and they get made to be free, what is the first thing they do before they leave that prison? They take off their prison clothes. You know why? Because they don't want anything that is associated with that place. When they were in bondage, when they were being held back, when they were being held down, because across the threshold of the door of the prison is freedom. My friends, God has brought us, if you've accepted Christ, over that threshold. You are free. He has declared that for your life. But some of us, we still walk around with these old prison clothes. And here's the problem. On Sunday and on January 1, we throw a new outfit on, and it's shiny, and we put ourselves together, and we make ourselves look like everything's okay. And people ask you on Sunday, how are you? I'm great. Everything's good. While deep down inside, you're suffering, and you're not good. And there's something going on, because here's the problem, my friends. If the old clothes are underneath, they eventually sweat through. You can't cover them up forever. This is why Paul says there has to be a putting off. Because if we don't, we get the new relationship that we prayed for, and we bring in what we did in the old thing. And then we can't sustain it. We can't have it. We get the new job that we prayed for, but the bad habits from the last one come in. We get the new fitness plan, but then brownies are ready in 2 minutes in the oven. I was losing y'all a little bit there. Brownies really does it. We get the new gym, and we say everything's going to be different now. I'm at a much better gym. Maybe the problem with the 2024 gym wasn't the gym. Maybe the problem was that you only went 3 times. I'm just venting. That's my personal issue. It's what I did last year. My friends, new is not always the answer. But at the beginning of the year, it's what we focus on. We love to slap on new things. If I get a new car, I'll be happy. If I get a new house, need $1.5 million because this is Canada. If I get a new house, I'll be happy. If I just get this new thing, everything will be better. And we make resolutions. This year I'm going carb-free. January 14th, you've already failed. We make these resolutions and then we struggle. And look, I'm not trying to judge you, because this is my testimony. I struggle in this area. What I'm trying to do is to show you what the Lord is teaching us. New isn't always the answer. Here's what it is. Maybe 2025, this year, instead of making resolutions, we need to be making resignations. Yeah, maybe, just maybe, I'm impressed. There's some mature Christians in here that would clap for that. Maybe this year we don't need a new resolution. Maybe there's something that we need to pass a resignation notice to. Maybe this year we have to get bold and we have to get out there and say, fear, I'm done with you. I'm leaving you in 2024. Depression, God already bought my mental health. I'm claiming it this year. I'm leaving that behind. Maybe this is the year that we need to not start something new, but we need to quit something old. Because old things, my friend, in enough time, they will wear you down. But God did not make you to wear prison clothes, and he certainly did not save you to wear prison clothes from your past. So this is what Paul is teaching us. And he doesn't just do it in Ephesians. In Galatians chapter 5, he goes on, and he actually lists for us what these things are. And he says, you are meant to be free from them. He says in verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, we're called to be free. Can I get an amen? We still in church? Amen. You are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What is the flesh? It's the old things, the things you used to do. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And then verse 19, he starts listing them out. So you ready? Here's the old things, according to the Apostle Paul. The acts of the flesh, old things, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, revels, and the like. I warn you, he says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is not popular preaching in 2025, my friends, but this is the word of God. These are old things. Here's the thing. I don't say this to judge you. And Paul didn't say it to judge you either. Paul is trying to tell you, these things don't belong to you anymore. Envy? You don't need to envy her. Do you know the mansion you have in glory for all of eternity? Drunkenness? You don't need that. You don't need the bottle to cope with your situation anymore because God is in it with you and will comfort you. These are old things that we can leave in the past. Why? Because there's new things made available to us. And Paul lists them off. But the fruit of the Spirit, these are the new things. This is where the page turns. The new things available to us is what? It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody want those things? Is that what you want in 2025? Peace, joy. I know some 35-year-old single in here wants love, yes? I heard you say amen back there. People have asked us to do like a Christian dating night. I'm like, no way. Christians make everything weird. There is no way we're doing that. No way. But God wants new things for you this year. He doesn't want those old things for you. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. It's already been done with its passions and desires. He's throwing out those old things. Since we live by the Spirit, here's the key though, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I don't know about you, but I don't want those old things. I'm done living in fear and insecurity, not being able to meet another person without being worried about what they're going to think about me. I want to leave those things in the past, and God wants you to call those things old things. He wants to leave you them back in the land of dial-up internet, way in the past. Here's the question, though. You're like, I'm down, preacher. I want the new things. That's good, but how? How? Here's what I love so much about the Word of God. It's unlike any other book ever printed. Because the Word of God does not just correct you. It does, make no mistake. It corrects me every day of my life, but it doesn't just point its finger at me. It tells me how to do it. It tells you how to get the new things, how to leave the old in the past. In verse 16, Paul says this. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There's that tension again. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Here's the key from 16. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Anyone in here want to walk by the Spirit? That's the kind of clap I thought I'd get. You know why? Because I'm not sure we actually know what it means to walk by the Spirit. I want to get real with you in 2025. Because in church, we love religious platitudes. How you doing this year? I'm just walking by the Spirit, brother. I'm just walking by the Spirit, sister. Christianese, we call it. And we're too scared and too embarrassed to ever ask anybody, hey, like, what does it mean? They're going to think I'm not a good Christian. So I got a question for you tonight. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? If this is the solution that Paul says, what does it mean? Here's what it means. It's way more simple. The gospel, my friends, is not complicated. It's simple. It's the application of the gospel that is difficult in our life. The gospel is simple. It's not code that you have to get a degree to crack. I'm a vice president of a seminary. I shouldn't be saying that to you, but it's just the truth. It's simple. Here's what walk by the Spirit means. It means do it with Him. This year in 2025, do it with Him. When you lay your head on the pillow tonight to rest, do it with Him. When you wake up in the morning and get your coffee, do it with Him. Include Him. Walk with Him. What we do is we put God in segments and boxes of our life, and then we wonder why 24/7, it's not great. God is for Tuesday night and Sunday morning. Most people just Sunday morning, so big ups to you. Tuesday night and Sunday morning. No, no, no. To walk by the Spirit is to do life with Him. Step by step to include Him. Thank you, Pentecostal people back there. Verse 25 said this, and we're almost there. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. Every step we take with the Spirit, with us. It's not complicated. It's not hard. Just inviting him in. Here's what I mean. How do you really get to know someone? By walking through life with them. You want to really know someone? Travel with them. International travel. You will see her without her makeup on. You will see him when he's only slept 3 hours. You'll see them anointed but not caffeinated. That's a problem. When you travel with someone, you learn the real them. Because everyone can front for 1 hour. Some of us, we go on a first date for 2 hours, and we think we're in love for the rest of our life. Anyone can fake it for 2 hours. Bro, she might be crazy. You need more than a first date. It's like someone back there, I felt like it's just like for you. Walk through life with God. That's what it means, walk by the Spirit. So what the Lord sent this old Maple Leaf jacket, 35-year-old preacher to tell you tonight is this. You don't need new this year. You need to know him this year. Come on. You don't need new. You need to know him. What does it mean to know him, though? It's deep. And you need to know him. You don't need a new marriage. You need to invite him into this one. Because there's some point where you let him go out of it. You don't need a new job. You need to invite him back into your workplace where you kicked him out because you were worried what people would think about you. You don't need a new church. Oh, here we go. You don't need a new church. You need to invite God back into your worship. I live most of my life scared to lift my hands up because what might people think of me? Church is not a place where we front. Church is a place where we go to worship God, not the people around us, not the pastor, not the worship leader. And you might say, but you got to understand, Pastor, my church isn't perfect. I know. You think this place is perfect? The perfect church exists until the moment you walk into it. Because you're not perfect. And neither am I. The church was meant to be a hospital, not a country club. It's a place where sick people can come and find the great healer. I'm impressed that y'all are clapping. Usually I'm getting boozed by now. But my friends, the only way to really have success with this is to know him, to truly know him, to see his love, to see his kindness, his forgiveness, his grace, to see his face. Once you do, everything changes. Everything starts to change. The only way to truly do away with old things, the only way to truly let go of them is to know him, to really know him. If you rely on your own strength, on your own schedule, on your own better programming this year, your own better willpower this year, eventually you will fall flat. But if you invite him in and walk with him, really know him, everything, my friends, can change. But here's the real question. Last question for you tonight. How do you actually get to know someone? I asked you this already, but I want to go deeper. How do you get to know not just about someone, but to know someone? Because here's the thing in life. We know a lot about celebrities. All right? There are some celebrities that we could tell you how old they are, where they were born. Some athletes, I could read their stats to you. I could tell you what championships they've won. I know all about. Okay, let's just take a pick. Steph Curry. I'm a big Steph Curry fan. Any LeBron haters in the room? Steph fans, you know? Oh, Team LeBron in here. I'm in trouble. And if I said to you, oh, yeah, Steph Curry? I know him. He's my boy. You'd be like, really? You know Steph Curry? That's kind of cool. Where did you meet him? Like, where did you guys hang? That's pretty cool. Oh, no, I've never met him. But I know him. That's my boy. Like, what? Yeah, I know all about his life. I know his story. I know his stats. I know everything. You would say, dude, you don't know him. You just know about him. Christians, do you know you can live your whole life going to church, knowing about God, but not actually knowing God? I tell you, I've been in ministry for 14 years now, and I used to be impressed by people who knew the Greek, by people who knew the historicity of the Word of God, by people who had doctorates on their titles. That doesn't impress me a bit anymore. You know what impresses me? People who display the fruits of the Spirit. Because when I see that you have love, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, forgiveness, I know that you know him. You don't just know about him, you actually know him. So in 2025, you don't need new, you need to know. You need to know him, because it's very simple. There's a very simple equation in life. The more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. I'm a Toronto man, through and through. Thank you. Born in North York General Hospital. Any North York babies in the house? Let's go. Those are my people. It's a terrible hospital now, but it was great back in the day. We have a volunteer who works there. Please forgive me. I love you. I'm a Toronto man through and through, but I get up on this stage and I say, y'all. You know why I say y'all to you? Because 10 years ago, I married this 5'8" hottie from North Carolina with a Southern accent. And she says, y'all, 800 times a day. So now I get up here and I say, y'all. You know why? Because the more you are with someone, the more you will be like them. You want to be like Christ, be with him. Spend time with him. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. The only way you become like someone is to be in their presence. I wonder how we would look, how we would talk, how we would think, how we would sound if we spent as much time with our Lord and Savior as we do with our boo, as we do with our bestie, as we do with our addiction, as we do with our hobbies. If we spent as much time with him as those things, my friends, our lives would look totally different. If the thing that we fed our soul every day was his presence, if that was what we fed our soul. But you know, we get on social media today. Linz, let me see your phone. I forgot mine. You got anything? I'm good? Clear? Okay, good. Yeah. She's cool. Don't worry. Look, she's got me on the background. That's awesome. And I didn't realize I'd be standing with bling. That's awkward. We, every day, get on social media, and we go on our feed, and we do this. And you know what we do? We feed and feed and feed ourselves a little more and feed a little more. And I was studying for this sermon. I came across something that's crazy. And I know you're not going to believe me, but ChatGPT is real and I dare you to bring it up. The average North American now spends 7 hours and 3 minutes per day of screen time on this. Taking in what the world is feeding you, 7 hours and 3 minutes per day. I did some math because I'm a nerd. That's 2,555 hours per year. Divide that by 24, it's 107 days of your year that you spend on a screen. Can you believe that? If you do that your whole life, that is a third of your life on this feed. Feeding on this, and the other third of your life, you're sleeping. That means you got like one third left to eat and go to the bathroom. That's about it. 7 hours and 3 minutes per day, and I'm not judging you, because look, I know it's not all bad on the screen. There's work, there's Bible apps. Sure, there's a lot of good, but most of the time, what we're feeding on, thank you, babe. Sorry I called you a hottie. You are, though. Most of the time, what we're feeding isn't good for us, my friends. What if instead of our social media feed, we fed on our daily bread again? What if when you woke up in the morning and your eyes aren't even open yet and you're like, where am I? And you reach out and you grab your phone first thing every day. What if we grabbed the Word of God? And what if we just got into his presence for a little bit? What if we just stopped and prayed a little bit, worshiped a little bit? My friends, everything would change, because I promise you, you will find the more you know him, the more these old things will start to go away. The hymnist said it this way: turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. It's my favorite part of any hymn, because it's strange. But the only way to break those patterns, break those addictions, it's not more willpower, it's replacing what you feed on with something that is so much better. And that is the presence of God. So maybe this year, it's the year that we leave depression behind. Maybe it's the year that we leave the old things of crippling insecurity and crippling anxiety behind. Could somebody look at your neighbor and just say bye-bye? Say bye-bye. Not to them. Like, you're not saying bye-bye to them. It's anxiety. Unless, I mean, maybe. If it's them, then. I'm the cause of breakups. It's okay. You know how many weddings I do now at the river. It keeps me very busy. Today, this is the year that we fill out some resignations. This is the year where we make some changes. But I want to tell you, if you're going to know God, you need to make space for God. You are so busy, and that's good. It means you're not a lazy person. But you have to, I have to still make space for him in my life. I have found myself in this spot before, just being really transparent with you. I don't act like I'm some perfect human or more saved than you, because I'm not. There has been seasons in my life where I have said to God on my knees in the middle of the night, how come I don't hear you? Why are you not speaking to me, Lord? And what he said to me a couple years back rocked me, man. He said, if I was speaking, would you even hear me? When do you ever stop to listen, Ryan? You're doing ministry, but when do you just spend time with me? You're taking care of your family. Good thing. But when do you spend time with me? My friend, good things are not God things. You can't replace God things with good things. And he spoke this to me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And my response was, well, God, you're omnipotent. You're all-powerful. Just override my will and speak to me. And you know what he says all over the Word of God? No. He gave us this thing called free will. He doesn't force us to love him because he wants relationship with you. And if I took someone and locked them up in my basement and said they love me because they never leave my house, that wouldn't be love. That'd be a creepy Netflix episode. But God's not creepy. He just wants your heart. He loves you. So he doesn't force you to make time with him. And some people have come to me as a pastor, like, but God never speaks, even when I make time. Yes, he does. Open up the Bible. He spoke 738,000 times. That's how many words are in the King James Version. Take the NIV, the ESV, whatever you want. He speaks still today. And not just that. The prophet Elijah said that the Holy Spirit speaks in a still, small voice. And he still does that today. But let me ask you a question. Are you ever still? It's a still, small voice. Are you still enough to hear it? Or are we so busy that we miss it? Maybe it's not that he's not speaking. Maybe it's that we're never still to listen. And it's a small voice. See, us preachers, we get loud and we shout to you because it's a big room and you're far away, but God doesn't need to shout. It's a small voice. All he needs to do is whisper. You know why all he needs to do is whisper? Because he is close. He is never far from you. He is closer than a brother. He doesn't leave you or forsake you or abandon you. But sometimes in my life, I got the volume cranked up on my bills, on other things. Not all bad things, some of them good. We still have to make a space to get into his presence so that we can know him. He is walking with you. The question is, this year, will you walk with him? I know it's hard preaching, but it's good preaching. Will you walk with him this year? It's not good preaching because it's me. It's good preaching because it's the Apostle Paul. Will you walk by the Spirit? Knowing about God is not it. It's not it. And if we're getting really real this year, getting right down to why we don't spend enough time with him, oh, Lord, I didn't want to say this. Here's the real reason why most of the time in my life I haven't made it a priority to spend enough time with him like I should. It's because if we get really down and honest, it's not that we want him, it's that we want what he can do for us. We want the dream spouse. We want the dream job. We want the dream car. We want all these things in this life, but my friends, this life is but a vapor. We have an eternity with him after. If you hear nothing else I say to you tonight, please hear this. Nothing else other than this. Nothing he can do for you will ever compare to the gift of his presence, of him being with you. There's no blessing great enough to compare to him walking with you in your life. To know him is the greatest gift. It's the most productive thing you could do in your schedule. So when you made your calendars, who made a calendar for 2025? Where are the psychotic people in here? I'd like to see you. Okay, my wife has six of them. She's a planner. Let's not forget to schedule him. I promise you it's more productive than anything else that you could do. To know him is the only way to say goodbye to old chains, to take off the old prison clothes that you should not be wearing anymore, that he set you free from. So tonight, I want to ask you to do something. It's a little bit weird. It's always scary when they say that in church. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to pull out your phone. Pull it out. And I want to ask you to do something. And you might need to think about it. You might need to pray about it. If right now is not the time, that's fine. And it's not give money. Don't worry. I want to ask you to do something. I want you tonight to send yourself a resignation. I want you to think and pray about what is one thing that you are leaving in 2024. What is one thing that you can say, I'm done with that. God already won that. What is one thing? I heard someone say it's obvious. Some of you know right away what it is. Some of you, maybe you have to pray for it. But tonight is the night, not where you came just to hear another message or to hear great music. Tonight is the night where your life can change. Where you draw a line in the sand and you say, no more. No more. I'm not living by this old bondage anymore. God has set me free from it, and I'm claiming it. And I know I won't be perfect, and I know there will be struggles along the way. But I don't want us to come here and play church. I want you to get right with Christ. So think about one thing, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to send yourself a text message. You can do that, believe it or not. Send yourself a text message. Send yourself an email. It's not for anyone else. Don't show anyone else. This is between you and your Creator, between you and your Lord. I'm done living my life insecure. I'm done living my life impure. I'm done at 1 a.m. when I can't cope going to that thing, going to that site, going to that person. I'm done. Tonight I'm drawing a line in the sand. Those are old things, and those things don't own me anymore. Is anybody going to do that tonight? Can we do that? Jonathan, can you play those keys? Because it's getting weird in here. Makes me sound more spiritual. Don't let tonight go by you as just another night. It's not a TED Talk. It's not a Coldplay or a Taylor Swift concert. They have more budget, more production, better communicators. It's a night where you can get in God's presence and get to know him a little bit more. And if you know him more, my friends, everything can change in an instant. So would you stand up to your feet, because we got worship left now. I am proud of you for taking that step tonight. I know there's some of you in the room, you're like, nah, I don't do that. There's nothing I need to leave in the past. If that's you, my friend, you have to do this more than anybody else. because we are not perfect people. We have a perfect God, but we are not perfect people. And I don't want you being held in the bondage of old things. I want you to stop using dial-up internet when you have fiber optic. You have Starlink. God has better things, new things. Worship team, y'all can come up. God has better things for you. So the whole thing I've been trying to tell you tonight is that you don't need new this year. You need to know this year. Know him. He in your life is better than becoming the CEO. The president is better than $1 million, is better than 1 million followers, is better than not having to worry about money ever again. Just being in his presence can change everything. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to worship. And C.S. Lewis, the great author, he said this. It's one of my favorite quotes. He said, it is in the process of being worshiped that God reveals his presence the most. If you're one of those people that go, I don't listen to man, only the word of God, fine, no problem. He says he will inhabit the praise of his people. So you have a chance now for a few minutes with a couple songs to get into his presence and not to know about him, but to know him. So don't worry about what the people around you are doing. Don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about how you sound. Send a resignation to the devil tonight. Draw a line in the sand. My resolution this year is simple. It's don't give me something new. Don't give me something more. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. So tonight, we're going to sing that song. Nothing else will do. You can search the world. I have. Many of you have. There's nothing else that will do it. We all have a God-shaped hole in our heart. And Jesus Christ is the only thing that can fill it. So ask him to come in. Give me Jesus.